If you've ever been in the hospital, you know how important it is to have someone there to pick you up and take you home. But what if you didn't have a home to go to and there was no one to take you there? For people experiencing homelessness when they are released from the hospital, they're often released back to the street and without a way to get to follow-up appointments or into a place where they can rest and recuperate, their health often deteriorates again. That is why Vivian Gellert is launching a new transportation service for the homeless this week. It's called Elaine, and it will provide transportation for people experiencing homelessness between hospitals, doctor's appointments, and the human service organizations they depend upon. And it's dedicated to someone who exemplifies just why a service like this is needed.
Last year, an individual experiencing homelessness was struck by a vehicle, and that woman's name was Elaine, and her family was a major reason for us being able to launch our system, and they've provided substantial support. And I thought it was a beautiful way to honor her name and build culture around a beautiful name, Elaine.
Gellert realized the need for a service like this when she was working as a scribe in two inner-city hospitals here and decided to forego medical school to make it a reality. The service launched on Monday, and I spoke with her more about it when she came into our studios yesterday.
When these individuals are discharged from the hospital, what happens next? Where do they go? Who takes care of them? How do they get connected to follow-up care appointments? Who's scheduling those? How are they getting there transportation-wise? And before Elaine, really the answer is there aren't services to provide that. There are so many services to provide health care, but the missing factor is the transportation and navigation. Mm-hmm. So that's what we feel.
So walk us through that. So typically what happens when someone who is experiencing homelessness is discharged from the hospital, which happens a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. So that individual is discharged from the hospital. They may be discharged to the street, or they may be discharged to the street and told you have a follow-up care appointment or you need to follow up. They may be discharged to a partner organization. When you're discharged from the hospital, you have someone to come pick you up and you have someone to come bring you your medications. Mm-hmm. When homeless individuals are discharged, they do not. I'll give you an example. For example, we have a client and she has an amputation right below her ankle. She's wheelchair bound. And we were recently interviewing, and she was telling us that for her to be able to get to a bus stop, get onto the bus, get into the appointment at the right time so she doesn't miss the appointment, then the provider will say, okay, you need to follow up with this provider. You need to go here for testing. You need to go pick up your prescriptions. For her to be able to do that, mm-hmm. wheelchair bound, homeless, without transportation, I mean, it's impossible.
Right.
So she was telling us her only alternative is to wait till something gets really bad, and then she has to go to the emergency room.
Right.
And that's what a lot of these individuals face. The emergency room is their primary care. If they have a sniffle, they go. If they're septic and have a hand the size of a balloon because they didn't go to remove stitches weeks ago, that's where they go. So it's everything to them. It's where they get care. It's where they get basic necessities. It's everything.
Right, right. And that's an inefficient and an incredibly nonsensical solution, right? Because you're treating somebody for something that isn't going to be able to be permanently fixed unless they have some sort of follow-up.
Exactly.
I want to talk a little bit about logistically how this works. So this launched on Monday, and you're able then with this service to be notified when someone is released from the hospital so that you can go get them and bring them to the human services campus. How does that work?
So we have different partners, and with each partner, a different protocol is presented. So for example, with our hospital partners, when a patient is ready for discharge, the hospital navigator within the hospital will reach out to our home-based navigator. The home-based navigator then accepts the client or patient, if you will, and then dispatches our driver to pick up that patient. There's a warm handoff between the hospital navigator, the patient, and the driver. The driver then brings them to the campus, which is where our home base is, and then there's that warm handoff between the driver, the patient, and the home-based navigator. Mm-hmm. The home-based navigator then sits down with the client and comes up with a holistic plan as to what resources do they need, what kind of prescription connection do they need, what appointments need to be scheduled, and really making sure that we're keeping that timeline with these individuals.
Yeah. How difficult was this for you to get off the ground? I mean, coming up with the idea is one thing, but actually getting the funding, the sponsorships, the coordination, all of that. Tell us about that process.
We've been designing this for 2 years. So it's taken 2 years to be able to tie together the net of providers we really needed to be able to make sure that this is working efficiently and effectively and that everyone's notified of the service so things aren't being duplicated, efforts aren't being duplicated. However, I have to say the support that we received, it just seemed that at one point we received all the support we needed. The vehicles, hospital partnership, you name it. That was probably the easier part.
Getting people to donate was not the hard part. It was the coordination.
It's interesting because the difficult part of this is the difficult part for our patients. It's mm-hmm. advocating for the need.
Yeah. Is there a concern at all on your part that it will be a challenge to kind of build trust among the homeless community, among these people who are experiencing homelessness and who maybe have been let down by the system, quote unquote, in the past, to get in the car, to allow the warm handoff to take place?
Yes. Not so much of a concern, but more of that challenge. Mm-hmm. Within the homeless community, reputations are built amongst providers. Good or bad. And that's something that from the very first day we brought on team members, I stressed that we will make mistakes. We will not follow protocol exactly, but the number one thing to maintain is that culture, that people, when they hear our name, they feel comfortable that we're patient with these clients. These clients are having the worst days of their life. And if we can look that individual in the eye and provide that human connection and make them feel that they're cared about, that's a success in our eyes.
So then lastly, what are your hopes? What kind of impact would you like to see this have?
My number one hope is to establish that culture. That's very important for us to be successful and to have the outreach that we want to have with our clients. And then, you know, I have my big hopes in terms of organizational growth and what that looks like. But the goal here and why my team and myself go to work every day is to provide this care to individuals that would have it in no other way.
All right. Vivian Gellert, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.